Welcome to Seeking Alpha's Wall Street Breakfast, your daily source of market news and analysis. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. Good morning. Today is Thursday, July 22nd, and I'm your host, Steve Brown. Our top stories today: Mask Revival, Green for the Week, and Nord Truce. Leading today's news: shares of mask makers are on watch again as the White House and CDC debate whether they should urge vaccinated Americans to wear masks in more settings. Delta variant infections are spiking across the country, with more than 40,000 new coronavirus cases a day, up from a low of 11,000 in June. The rate of vaccinations is also slowing nationwide, dropping to about 500,000 per day, while hospitalizations have reached levels not seen since the early spring. Backdrop: the CDC eased its mask guidelines for the fully vaccinated 2 months ago, saying they didn't need to use them or practice social distancing. But this week, CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky told a Senate hearing that the agency is actively reviewing its mask and public health policies as the virus and pandemic continue to evolve. A lot has changed since May 13th. We now have a variant circulating in this country that at the time was 3% of new cases and is now 83% and much more transmissible. Health officials in California have already recommended or required that residents in 17 counties resume mask wearing indoors, while a new mask mandate has gone into effect for employees in Clark County, Nevada, which houses Las Vegas casinos. New Orleans has also issued an indoor mask advisory, regardless of vaccination status. According to an Axios Ipsos poll released Tuesday, 52% of Americans say they are regularly wearing a mask in public, down from 84% in early May. Mask up your portfolio? While it could be more of a short-term trade, mask maker and PPE manufacturer Lakeland Industries surged 7% on Wednesday. Other mask makers were also on the move, including Alpha ProTech and Allied Healthcare Products, which climbed 4% and 3% respectively. Lake should benefit as fears of a COVID reemergence cause sales of protective clothing to rise, writes SA Marketplace author Ranjit Thomas, saying the stock should generate a steady amount of revenue even after COVID is defeated. In other news, stocks are continuing to rebound following a retreat on Monday as traders don't appear to see an immediate risk to the economic recovery. U.S. equity futures are all pointing 0.2% higher this morning, with strong corporate earnings prints continuing to help the investing landscape. Coca-Cola and Johnson & Johnson both logged gains following their results on Wednesday, and we'll hear from other Dow components today, including Dow Incorporated and Intel. Analyst commentary: we expect a continuation of sloppy trading through the seasonally weak summer months. However, our base case remains that the primary trend over the next 12 months remains higher, noted Keith Lerner, chief market strategist at Truist. The S&P 500, which just made a new record high last week, has gone one of the longest periods of the past decade without so much as a 5% pullback since October. Investors may also be taking some comfort in the latest comments on price pressures. There will be near-term inflation because everything is now trying to be picked back up, President Biden said Wednesday night at a CNN town hall in Cincinnati. But the vast majority of experts, including Wall Street, believe it's highly unlikely that it's going to be long-term inflation that's going to get out of hand. On the economic calendar, the ECB's first policy announcement since raising its inflation target to 2% is due today, with President Christine Lagarde promising interesting variations and changes. In the U.S., weekly jobless claims are expected to come in at 350,000 a week after falling to the lowest level since March 2020. Senate Republicans also blocked an effort to begin debate on a bipartisan infrastructure deal on Wednesday, but lawmakers expect to near a final agreement by early next week. The Biden administration has reached an agreement with Berlin that allows for the completion of the Nord Stream 2 natural gas pipeline between Russia and Germany, ending a long-standing dispute between the two allies. Previous U.S. administrations opposed the link under the Baltic Sea, feeling it would give the Kremlin more political leverage over previous transit countries that have carried its gas exports to Europe for the last four decades. In fact, Ukraine said it stands to lose $2 billion in annual payments from Russia as part of a transit contract for gas that is set to expire in 2024. Fine print. Since the construction of the Gazprom-led project was almost done when Biden came into office, it should be finished next month, the administration went for a diplomatic agreement instead of sanctions. Under the deal, Berlin has promised to deal with Russia if it threatens European energy security. Germany has also promised support for Ukraine, like investment in green technology infrastructure, though Kiev is still not happy with the agreement, saying it doesn't provide enough protection. Should Russia attempt to use energy as a weapon or commit further aggressive acts against Ukraine, Germany will take action at the national level and press for effective measures at the European level, including sanctions to limit Russian export capabilities to Europe and the energy sector, according to a joint statement from the US and Germany. Western partners were also involved in the building of Nord Stream 2, including Royal Dutch Shell, Germany's Uniper and BASF, Austria's OMV, and France's ENGIE. Go deeper. Some are pointing to a book called Ally vs. Ally, America, Europe, and the Siberian Pipeline Crisis, which Antony Blinken, now U.S. Energy Secretary of State, wrote in 1987. Go deeper. Some are pointing to a book called Ally vs. Ally, America, Europe, and the Siberian Pipeline Crisis, which Antony Blinken, now U.S. Secretary of State, wrote in 1987. In it, he argues for alliance maintenance, rather than adversary containment, after the Reagan administration imposed sanctions on a similar pipeline from the Soviet Siberian gas fields to Europe in 1981. Echoes of Nord Stream 1 may also be at play, with Germany's neighbors moving on from their opposition to the pipeline, which was completed in 2011. CoinDesk columnist Nick Carter kicked things off at the A-List B-Word event that also featured some in the C-suite crowd. Carter began by explaining the crucial importance of proof of work for Bitcoin, and why proof of stake, less energy intensive, is inferior. He also noted that more transactions don't necessarily mean more energy expenditure. That's rather dependent on securing the network, which was in direct contrast to Elon Musk, who 2 months ago helped set off Bitcoin's collapse by claiming transactions use too much energy. Seeking Alpha contributor Lynn Alden also took to the floor to try and debunk Bitcoin can be displaced easily FUD. Bitcoin has three irreplaceable attributes, said Alden, security, scale, and decentralization. She also took note of the oft-used comparison of Bitcoin to MySpace. Bitcoin, she reminded, hit a $1 trillion market cap 13 years after coming into existence. It's a level of scale and market dominance that MySpace never even sniffed. Meanwhile, CoinMetrics author Nick Madry discussed whether Bitcoin ownership is concentrated. He first noted that all Bitcoin transactions are transparent to anyone who wished to view them, including the addresses of wallets that hold Bitcoin. While yes, the top 10% of addresses hold 99% of supply, addresses is a key word. Addresses, said Madry, is not individuals. An address can represent thousands of individuals. Think exchanges like Coinbase and institutions. In fact, he says, 5 of the top 10 largest Bitcoin addresses are exchanges. Movement. Bitcoin notched a session high of $33,000 during the event, but has since returned to the $31,000 level, and has stayed there for most of the night. Don't forget the THE talk. Kathy Wood. Our focus on disruptive innovation attracted her to Bitcoin and crypto in general, and she offered her thoughts about how Bitcoin fits within ESG investing landscape. Bitcoin's limit of 21 million coins ever means its primary use right now is store of value, she added. Purchasing power will go up over time. She also passed on the research to economist Arthur Laffer, who threw up his hands and said at last, a rules-based monetary system. Elon Musk. I might pump, but I don't dump, he declared, while wearing a shirt about Bitcoin being the evolution of money. I think about money as an information system, and there's an opportunity for something better than ACH and credit card networks. He further noted that he is an owner of Bitcoin through not just Tesla, but through SpaceX, and he personally owns Bitcoin, Ether, and Dogecoin. Once Musk is convinced more than 50% of Bitcoin mining was based on renewables, Tesla will again accept the crypto for purchases. Jack Dorsey. Bitcoin reminds me of the early internet. If the internet gets a chance to be a native currency, it's Bitcoin because of its resilience and community driving it. He also has high hopes for the currency. We have all these monopolies off balance and the individual doesn't have power, and the amount of cost and distraction that comes from our monetary system today is real, and it takes away attention from the bigger problems. My hope is that it creates world peace, or helps create world peace. As of 6:20 a.m. today, U.S. futures, crude oil, and Bitcoin are all set to open in the green, with gold slightly down. On today's economic calendar, existing home sales are out at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to rate and review it below. Your feedback is deeply appreciated.
That concludes today's Wall Street Breakfast. Thank you for listening. For the best investment analysis and news on the web, go to SeekingAlpha.com. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can sign up for our other podcasts, Behind the Idea, Essay for FAs, Let's Talk ETFs, the Cannabis Investing Podcast, and Marketplace Roundtable on those platforms as well. Have a great day.